G'day everyone, this is another edition of the Between Two Nerds discussion between myself, Tom Uren, and the Gruck. Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you? I'm good, man.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Thinks Canary, the company that makes really easy to deploy honeypots. I've got a discussion with her and Mia of Thinks Canary on this channel. Be sure to look out and listen for that. I'd also like to thank the Hewlett Initiative Cyber Foundation for their support as well. So, Gruck, you were telling me about this idea of cyber pinch points, and I immediately said to you, okay, what does that mean?
So, it's a carryover of the idea of geographic or strategic pinch points. So, for example, the Suez Canal is a geographic pinch point. The Panama Canal is a geographic pinch point. Strategic pinch points would be like the Rotterdam port, right? These are single, not necessarily points of failure, but these are sort of something that if you can choke it off, it will have an outsized effect on the environment.
Yep.
That the systems that rely on it. So these are sort of critical elements for broader systems. And I was talking to a friend, he brought this up and he mentioned cyber pinch points as a concept, following on like if there's a Suez Canal and there's a Panama Canal and there's a Rotterdam port and there's these sorts of things, then cyber probably has the same thing. And I wanted to think about that and discuss that. And I guess an example that we could bring up would be the Colonial Pipeline incident, where it turns out that even though you have this entire system of, you know, pipes and valves and, you know, your SCADA systems and all this other stuff, in order to actually stop the entire system, you just need to bring down the billing server, just one billing server. And then for a week, the system stops operating. So that was a sort of, in a way, that's a pinch point because oil itself is a pinch point. It's a strategically critical resource. So that's broadly the concept.
So I think these things exist, right? I guess to be pedantic with the with the Colonial Pipeline example, that was a management decision. But also to be pedantic about my pedantry, I guess, like if you don't have money flowing and you can't collect the money, you can't pay for the fuel that you have to pump through the pipeline, right? So that seems...
It's unlikely that they had a week's worth of fuel just sitting there that they decided to sit on. That they had this week's worth of stockpile as opposed to they needed to purchase.
But on the other hand, I think, you know, if it had gone on longer, at some point the government would have said, I don't care about the money. We've just got to make this work out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll sort something out later.
So I'd also, just while we're on that point, I think, while it was sort of made public as the billing server, I think it's probably a bit more likely that it wasn't just the billing itself, that it was probably more along the lines of like, we don't know the quantities of oil that we ship to station X, station Y, and station Z.
Yep.
If we don't know the quantities, we can't tell,
how much do they want.
Maybe it gets positioned as being this sort of money issue when really it's more of a systems issue of like, we literally don't have visibility in how the system is functioning, which normally would be how we charge people.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit hard to know when everything gets interpreted through the kind of media frame where it's a lot easier to make fun of someone for not making money when everyone's trying to shovel fuel into plastic bags. But I guess like this discussion we're having is a good example of the question I have is whether you can predict where these pinch points would be beforehand, right? I think in that case, if you were an attacker motivated to stop the pipeline, and I guess in this case, it's not even clear that the ransomware operators were actually intending that, right? But how would you know, and then how would you make that prediction of, okay, we'll stop the billing and the management decision?
Right, and then that will trigger management to shut. It's very much that the movie plot type
Mission Impossible.
You know, if we can remove the Jesus nut, then the rotor will fall off the propeller.
Yep.
And, you know, the plane will fall out of the sky. So all you need to do is just shoot that one Jesus nut with your rifle and you can take down a plane.
Yep.
And yeah, like, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, in theory, I guess so. But I think you raise a good point there in that when you look at sort of, I guess, maybe this micro level of pinch point at a specific company, like if you had access to Colonial Pipeline and you wanted to stop the oil, my bet is that you would probably start with either looking at, can I access the SCADA systems and do something there? You know, like, can I access their industrial infrastructure? Or you might look at some other part of the management network internally. You might not necessarily immediately go to the billing server. And also, I think it's worth pointing out that you couldn't test these things individually.
Yep.
Right? Like, if you've got access, you can't, you know, okay, you know, today we take out the management network and see what happens. And then when they bring that back up, we take out the SCADA network and see what happens there. They bring that back up, and then we take out their email systems and see if that, you know, you can't do it piece by piece because you'd lose access. So you kind of have to do everything at once and then, you know, sort of hope it works. And in a way, does that mean that you're even looking for pinch points so much as just brute forcing the whole domain space and assuming that there's one in there somewhere?
Yeah, well, like, what I like about the idea is that, to me, it seems a sensible place for a sophisticated organization to try and focus effort, right? So there's the story that the US had a large cyber program ready, I think it was it Olympic Games that was aimed at Iran?
Yeah. That was as you know, I was about to say, I think that actually is a good example of a pinch point as well.
Yeah. And so my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it was David Sanger who wrote about it in a book. And the idea was that the US cyber apparatus was poised to conduct all these operations that would kind of be disabling for the Iranian, I guess, government or military or something in the event of some conflict. And it would seem to me in that case, you would try and find the places where you could have an effect. You've talked about it as a pinch point. I'd say maybe a point of leverage where you could have some outsized result, right? And that seems to make sense. And if you can find that point of influence or leverage, you know, your operational risk is less because you're in fewer places. You're trying to do something smaller. So that, as a concept, I kind of like it.
Right. Just to clarify about the pinch point is, it's not necessarily exclusively about leverage. It's sort of like finding the jugular.
Right.
It's sort of like the one thing that you can interfere with that will be terminal or fatal to the thing that you're attacking. So, you know, obviously for Colonial Pipeline, if they were never able to build, that would have been fatal to the company. So that's sort of the pinch point jugular sort of thing.
Right.
I think that your strategic approach to it is probably better than focusing just on this, you know, how do you kill something with cyber, so to speak, right? Take it a bit broader. Part of the thing I wonder about, though, is that people tend to be more resilient than we think, right? So I'm reminded of how everyone freaks out about these power outages and, like, attacks on the grid and all this stuff. And what they're thinking about is that blackout in New York in the 70s, where the city exploded in riots and stuff like that. And they think that if there's a blackout, you know, if the lights go out, then, you know, there's going to be complete chaos and anarchy in the street. And if we look at more recent examples of blackouts that have hit New York, instead you get people parking their cars and turning on the radio and opening the door so people could hear the news of what's happening as they're walking home.
Right, yeah.
Right. It's not that sort of anarchy that happens. People instead help each other.
Yes, especially if they feel that they're under attack.
Right, exactly. And so I think that the idea that some of these things work is based on these bad models of human psychology and bad models of how enemies react. So it's maybe it's like those demonstrations of how to defend against a knife where the guy stands there with the knife out while you do your, you know, and now I catch him and all this other stuff. And it works fine as long as the guy isn't moving and cooperates with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I think there's a lot of that. There's this failure to remember that the enemy gets a vote. You know, that there's very few things that you can do that the opposition will not be able to recover from in some way, and they'll probably do it faster than you expect. So I'm always cautious about this idea of, you know, cyber having this super knockout strategic effect in that sort of knocking things out way.
Yeah, so I was wondering about two things. One is maybe the approach of trying to influence the information environment is not exactly what you're talking about, but if there's a point that you can influence a population and achieve your objective without fighting at all, does that make it a kind of pinch point?
Right. I think not, just because I like having the idea that a pinch point should have a sort of, if everything's a pinch point, nothing's a pinch point.
Right.
Right. So it's let's sort of keep it as this, it's a thing that you can do that will have an outsized effect.
Incapacitating.
Yes, that it will stop something. Like it's got a very, very clear purpose.
So you absolutely think that they exist?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if they're as powerful as, for example, when the Suez Canal...
The Ever Given?
Right. It blocked, you know, like that was just one minor thing that blocked the whole, you know, global supply chain for a week, right? I think they exist, but I also think that they're very much like the billing server at Colonial Pipeline, where they're not predictable beforehand, right? Like you're not gonna say, okay, like if I release this NotPetya virus, then several condom factories in Thailand will shut down for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an obvious connection from attacking Ukrainian tech software to condom factories stopping for whatever reason. So one of the rules in systemics is that, the way it's phrased is, the important variables are found by accident.
Right.
You discover retrospectively, obviously, this thing is critical. But beforehand, it's impossible to predict.
I was thinking of air crash investigations, where after the fact, you can figure out what chain of events led to a crash.
Right.
But I mean, obviously, you didn't do it beforehand. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a crash. Right. But I wonder about, in the case of that example, the condom factories, was it a pinch point? Like, was there just a single thing? Or was it the fact that there was widespread disruption to many systems?
Right. So I have to admit, I don't know. Was it that NotPetya interfered with the management system that was used to run the machines? Or was it that the truck delivery system got shut down? And so just in general, the factory couldn't store anything, so they didn't produce anything? Or, you know, what part of the system failed?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're all examples where, in theory, I guess like the Colonial Pipeline example, you said that the first thing you'd do would be to try and get onto the operational network.
Right. I mean, it sounds logical, right?
But these are all examples where they're attacking the IT network and they're also stopping production. So there's this kind of disconnect between the operational side of the business and yet still achieving that disruption.
Right. Right. Well, I guess in a way, the triumph of middle management. You know, like you need the technicians to run the operational stuff, and you need the CEO to CEO, but you actually do need all those managers doing their management stuff. And if you disable their ability to do their management stuff that runs the business, then it actually does stop. Even if the technicians can keep on teching, and the CEO can keep on CEOing.
Yeah.
It's worth remembering that the inner bureaucratic layer has a function, and if you disable that, you can disrupt the system even without directly impacting the, you know, where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I always wonder in those cases what difference being in a wartime situation makes, and I think you look at the way just the risk appetite changes drastically when lives are on the line. But I suppose the question is, you think they exist? You think they are not knowable beforehaend? So what's the point? I was thinking about GCHQ's, I think of it as a white paper, their responsible power and practice, and they leave space for conducting destructive, I guess I'd call them effects operations, right?
Yeah.
But they are definitely not the main game. That's not where they're going day to day. So cyber pinch points could fit into what they do, but it seems like something they're not focused on. Is it something they could be or should be?
Yeah, so I feel they're aware of it. You know, the backstory of how I got this pinch points thing was from a British guy who used to do physical things in Africa for people who gave him money, who he was speaking to someone else, and he described the approach that they use, that the sort of the strategy that they'd apply. And it was this sort of pinch points thing. And so my friend who'd spoken to him told me about pinch points. And so if this guy knows about it, it must be it must be a British strategy at some level.
Right.
So they're absolutely aware of it. But I think it's also the sort of thing that they don't do themselves. They have a guy who gets paid money and does it as a sort of private contractor on his own doing his thing. They don't necessarily, you know, run that out of their own offices. And I think that that's sort of covered in the white paper in the sense that they don't bring up these sort of operations, because the white paper doesn't just lay out their sort of conceptual strategy and the approaches that they take. It also lays out what they're comfortable with at a policy level, what as a nation they are prepared to do.
That's the responsible part.
Right, right. Exactly. Like, that's the response. It's the, you know, out of all of the things that we could do, these are the things we think are effective and that we are comfortable doing, you know, as responsible members of society. I think they don't include pinch point stuff just because, as we said, it's so focused on that sort of terminal capability that it's very much about, you know, impacting large systems that people rely on, whereas they seem to be more focused on impacting group communications or adding friction and things like that.
Yeah,
so I very much like their approach. I think that they're aware of pinch points, and I think, you know, I kind of wonder if you could find, could you model beforehand? I mean, if you, probably not. Your model would have to be 100% perfect mirror of what you're doing, in which case you've re-implemented the whole thing, that a bug-for-bug level re-implementation of what you're trying to attack. So in order to find the pinch points for the Rotterdam port, you would have to build the Rotterdam port.
Right. I mean,
in the system that relies on it.
I'm thinking of Stuxnet, where the story, I think, is that they did build a test network. I don't know it's like the pinch point that you're talking about, but I guess it's an example of finding a place where you could make a difference and not get detected. So it's kind of a, that was fatal for at least some centrifuges.
I think Stuxnet is a pinch point attack because they looked at the nuclear development system and they said, you know, what is the thing that all of this rests on?
Right, yeah.
Right? And they decided, okay, so they need to have enriched uranium. And how do they enrich uranium? With centrifuges, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you, it's the strategic air war idea of like, if you take out the ball bearing factory, then the Germans can't build fighter planes anymore because they want to ball bearings. So if you take out the centrifuges, then the Iranians can't build bombs anymore because they don't have enriched uranium.
Yes, yes. Which, so I guess the physical equivalent would be to blow up the TANs. And the cyber equivalent is Stuxnet. And those are both, you know, achieving the same effect. I think that's actually a good example.
Yeah, absolutely. And it hasn't been repeated since. So I guess there was exactly one cyber pinch point that's been used strategically by a state.
And also there's still debate about how effective it was.
True. So I think that this comes back to what I raised earlier, that the how effective is it in the long run, you know? Yeah, you can knock out Merck for a month, but will you be able to do it again in the same way? Okay, probably. But the point is... I feel like they're the sort of thing that I think retrospectively you can explain why something happened.
Yep.
You know, it's that, you know, oh, it turns out that this is the pinch point. Like if you do this attack broadly enough and, you know, covering enough things with enough depth, and you hit the magic server and everything falls down because of it.
I heard a story from, I think he was a CISO, and he was conducting, I guess it was a red team type exercise against his own company, and the brief was to disrupt the company. And immediately the first thing he did was take down the phone system. He said that was the end of the exercise because no one could do anything. And I guess there's an example of another example of a pinch point.
Yeah. I think that's actually a good example.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they exist. I still don't know how you would find them beforehand.
Yeah.
And I like even that example that I gave just then where they disrupted the phone network, Maersk, I think everything was gone. Like they were talking on their own personal devices. They came back relatively quickly.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think this is a perfect example of what the Russians tried to do with cyber at the start of the invasion in February when they went after Viasat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is a pinch point because that was used for military communication.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like that was the fabric on which all of the military comms, well, the majority of the military comms was running. And so taking that out had an outsized impact on communications. Similarly, when they went after government systems, they were trying to disrupt the government's ability to organize and manage their response. And again, that was treating that bureaucratic middle layer, the sort of the infrastructure IT side of government, as a pinch point. And it was, you know, it was effective in its own right, but this plays to the point about how people are more resilient than you think. So when Viasat went down, the local brigades and battalions, sort of their officers took initiative and did things without commands from higher up. And they also used their personal phones to organize and communicate with each other. So they were able to sort of route around the damage and keep going. And I think that's probably... that might be the take-home message there as well, is that even if you do find a pinch point, it's maybe not as important overall. Like, systems we have are just much more resilient these days, unless you're unless you're Colonial Pipeline or Maersk. Or
yeah, it seems like every example we can come up with, we can also kind of push back, I think, quite effectively on how impactful it is. In the case of Maersk, for example, you can say organizationally they were dead in the water. Like they had no IT whatsoever. But that ignores the fact that people have phones and they don't just go, right, okay, my work phone is down, see you later. They pick up their own phone and...
Yeah, well, remember when the cyber partisans hit the rail network in Belarus, right? And they used ransomware on like all of the routers and all of this other stuff. And they said, you know, our ransom is Russian troops out of Belarus. So they did stop the trains for something like 4 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
Right. On the one hand, it's very effective. But on the other hand... it's only a few hours, and
that's
they
right.
got around it by just switching to doing paper tickets that they wrote out manually using the old systems that they used to have. That's the sort of thing where, like, people are more resilient than we give them credit for.
Yep.
So, Tom, I guess what we can come away with is that conceptually, a cyber pinch point should exist. However... a couple of minor caveats. One, you can't find them beforehand. Two, they're a lot less effective than they seem. And I guess three, they just don't work anywhere near as well as they do in the imagination. You know, they don't have that longevity. So
so we've just had a great discussion about how useless they are.
If you want a minor capability that will sort of give you something, I think we could say that there is no. It seems unlikely that there is a cyber ever given.
Thanks.
I think that's it.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Talk to you next time.